We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, and so is MLB.tv. Watch every out-of-market, regular season game on your favorite streaming devices. Anywhere, anytime, all season long. Follow the action live or on demand. Track four games at once with multi-view mode and catch up with in-game highlights. Plus, original programs, minor league broadcasts, and local pre- and post-game shows. Go to MLB.tv to start your free trial today. Blackout and other restrictions apply. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
How's it going, Rick?
Good, thanks.
You seem comfortable.
Thank you for having me
It's
here
always good.
On a chilly morning.
I thought after, so Rick, first of all, Rick is a longtime editor at The Current, and now he's the managing editor at WTNH. And honestly, like, there aren't many. I learned from Rick. And so during the political season, they had him on a bunch. And then he ghosted me. He just stopped, you know. He would text me in the morning, be like, what about this? What about that?
There's a good reason. I have this car now where I can't get AM radio.
What, did you buy a Tesla?
I got an electric car that doesn't have AM.
What'd you get?
That's interesting.
Did you get an ID4?
ID4, yeah.
Why is everyone buying an ID4? I know every middle-aged man is buying an ID4.
That's probably it, right there.
It's just like, I can't go full Tesla.
Right.
So I'm going to go Volkswagen. It's funny because I've seen like three in the last three days.
Yeah, they're everywhere now. You couldn't get it for a year and now they're
popular. Do you like it?
Yeah, it's a little getting used to. That whole range anxiety thing is actually...
Is it real?
Well, yeah, you get a little nervous about it, you know? It's tough to make it to Boston and back without a recharge.
So you have to pull over and, like, sit for 20 minutes and charge?
Well, you got to find the right charging station, too.
You can't use the Tesla?
Not now. I think down the line you
can. It'll be
adaptable. And then you got to find the one that's fast. They have ones that are slower, you know? You got to get the Ultra or hyperspeed one.
So. Does it actually save money on the charging? Because it's like $1.50 or whatever.
Yeah, I think it's a little more expensive to get the fast charge, but it's still cheaper than gas. But it's just the psychology of it, you know? Like, gas stations are everywhere, but charging stations aren't.
What's funny, I used to play this game. I love to play the game, How Far and Empty Can I Go Without Running Out of Gas? Like,
same.
I used to play that game.
I still play that game, yeah. And my wife hates that, but...
You got to roll the dice.
Yeah, exactly.
Listen, knock on wood, to date, I've never run out of gas.
So my husband is a certified senior master tech for Ford Motor Company. And he tells me once you hit E, you've got 50 miles.
Oh, it's funny because
lie to you.
I was always told you could go 20 miles on fumes.
Oh.
That's all I ever was told.
I've only run out of gas once, and it was in Chicago. So
oh, that must have been
problem.
So shame. You must have been shamed.
Yeah.
That's a terrible miscalculation, Rick.
Yeah.
So anyway, the funny thing about what we do, because I think honestly, when we're doing our best on this show, I think we're awesome, and I think it's not repeated, maybe in other places, even in the country. But Teslas don't have radios, and so the ID4 they don't have radios. It's just all connectivity, whether it's you use your phone for your podcasting or
interesting.
There's no radio, so there's no AM radio.
And where was the conscious decision to like bump out AM, right?
Well, I mean,
somewhere along the line.
As Corey would say, she's called me analog twice today.
Yeah.
I think that's the point, is that it's not a part of the future.
Yeah.
So why put it in now? It's like you don't get five CD changers and cassette decks in the cars, right? Eventually they stop putting them in. And whether that's the way it's going to be, but it's the way it is. So you could still stream us in the app, Rick.
Stream it, but the problem is it every time you go off the app, it brings you back to where you were before in the program.
Listen,
so you could be
20
minutes
behind.
The point
is, you want to come back, you got to talk about the app. You can listen to the app. The app's great, Rick.
Okay.
The app is fantastic.
I got it on my phone. Honest.
Well, I know you're a listener, so either way. We're going to take, as we always do, 720 and 740 and 750 will be the bulk of our conversation points. I want to talk about Governor Lamont. I've been throwing this stuff out there about whether some of these early proposals this year are part of his legacy building and stuff like that. You know, I really think there's something going on.
Yeah.
And you made a comment to me via text. I don't know if we can go on the record with it, but I think there's a lot to that comment, too, about what kind of... his conservatism in some ways is not indicative of his political party, and and that's something I want to get into. But we have to take a break here. We did a story like a month ago about, and this is important for New England, how much battery power they lose in the cold. And, you know, the ID4, according to this particular piece, can lose up to 30%. It's not the worst.
I saw that. Yes.
But it's at the bottom. I think the Chevy Bolt is the only one. But if that's in terms of verified, the ID4 can lose as much as 30% in the cold weather. But it looks nice. It looks a little like a Range Rover type.
Don't they all look the same now, though? Isn't that part of the issue?
Well, the Rivian trucks are cool.
Yeah, yeah.
They are really, really cool. We're with Rick Green from WTNH, the managing editor, and Corey Myers. How should I address who you are professionally?
You know, that's the first time somebody's asked me that in such a long time. I guess you just longtime Connecticut radio personality.
Radio personality.
There you go.
That's pretty good.
Yeah, that's good. I think that is good, and it's accurate as well. And hopefully, she'll be here on Friday when I'm on a pond in New Hampshire, probably losing an extremity. But that's neither here nor there. I wanted to start with you and Rick. With Governor Lamont, because, you know, I asked Dan Hart this question. I mean, with like multiple gun proposals at the beginning of the year, and I know he's got to sort of, he's got the budget address and he's got to sort of pump the legislative, you know, stuff that he wants. But to come so aggressively on guns feels like, and I'm reading into it, but my take was he's legacy building here. And in some ways, this signifies to me that I don't know what the rules are, but I don't think he'll run for a third term.
Yeah, I don't think we know that.
I feel like I do.
You're more connected than I am.
No. I don't know that. I mean, I'm saying that with certitude, with no real information.
Yeah, I mean, it would certainly be unusual if we saw him run for a fourth term. I guess it's just going to depend on how things go for the next few years, right? How's the economy going to go? Or is Connecticut going to continue to kind of climb back from? Whether the great pandemic, are we going to start to create more jobs than we have been? Is he going to follow through on some tax cuts? I mean, he's got some pretty big items on the table in terms of trying to have a middle class tax cut here.
Can I share what you texted
sure,
me?
Sure, okay. Sure.
So you basically said it seems pretty clear we have a Republican governor who has to keep the Democrats in control. And what I would say is that the gun issue, it doesn't fall in step with that. But fiscally,
right?
I think he's very worried about the economy. I think he wants to hold on to this surplus because he's very worried about the economy on the other side.
I mean, I think we can all agree that in general, most people in Connecticut are kind of in the middle, a little to the left, a little to the right. And the governor is playing to that. And yes, he is probably more socially liberal. I'll look at the gun proposals. But, you know, he's talking about tax cuts for low income, middle income. Maybe we'll even see some for his friends down in Fairfield County who provide most of the tax revenue for the state.
Right. Well, you know, for me, and Corey, feel free to chime in anytime you want. I look at like Lamont a little in the same way that Obama is. Obama like really didn't like Congress.
Yeah.
And in one of his biggest blind spots is that he felt it was condescending, and he should have probably done more than negotiating himself initially, especially with the healthcare stuff. But with Lamont, I don't think it's that, but there doesn't seem to be simpatico with the Democrats at the state capitol, really, and especially early on in his first term. And I'm wondering, do you have any insight into that relationship? I mean, is there a rubber stamp there? Can he bring it and say, and the Democrats are like, yes, or is there a ton of pushback or what?
We got to remember, he's like him or not out there, he's a popular governor. He won by 13 points over the Republican. So the Democrats have to look to the fact that this is a guy who is still riding a pretty good wave of popularity stemming from his handling of the pandemic, the improving state's economy. So this is a guy who's going to get what he wants to some degree. Are we going to see some of the more liberal Democrats have all kinds of spending proposals? I think he's going to fight a lot of that stuff.
Even the Republicans want to cut taxes more than he's cutting them.
So yes, exactly.
Everybody on both sides wants to use that money.
Right, right. I think you'll see Lamont wanting to be more responsible with it, return some of it to taxpayers, but continue his strategy of paying down the debt, which Connecticut is developing a pretty good record on.
We're talking with Rick Green, managing editor from WTNH, longtime current editor, and Corey Myers is here too, longtime Connecticut media personality? Is
that right? Radio.
Radio. Have you always been radio?
Always.
Never TV?
No, I had no desire. My hair's too big.
I don't know. Mark Christopher did TV. You could do TV.
He did? I didn't know that.
He was our traffic guy at Channel 30 when we relaunched the morning show.
Wow.
Myself, Keisha Grant, Bob Maxson, and Mark the Shark.
So you straddle both worlds, so you have a little insight into both, though.
Yeah, I mean, I will tell you, I don't know if TV... I mean, we're trying to do stuff in multimedia here, but I mean, it is... The TV is so different. I mean, I love being off script. I mean, and I love being able to talk to people like you and you, Corey, and have real conversations. I think the constraints of television, especially locally, is really difficult if you want to express yourself. And I'm not even like, I don't have a political agenda. I just want to have good conversations, you know. And TV, even those Sunday shows, I think are severely limiting the way they do it. Now, I wish they could blow out the format.
It just needs to be more free form? Because I came from the print world to TV.
Well, listen, I have my own philosophies, and the folks at TNH and Channel 30 might have disagree, but we're digressing. But what I said this to somebody who's pretty high up and with one of the stations the other day. If you really want your anchors to be journalists and you want your reporters to be journalists, then test them. And by that is that if you have a story, like everyone's so addicted to having taped, like you go to a reporter, he says, blah, blah, blah. They throw to a taped piece. They tag it off, blah, blah, blah. Back to you, Bob. Forget about that, especially if there's something active. Have a Q&A.
Yeah.
Just have a conversation. And they're like, the anchors, they need a scripted question. Well, if you know your stuff, give me a break.
Yeah.
Give me a break. You should be able to have a conversation about a story. If a reporter knows the story, they should be able to talk about it.
Right, and the thing now is social media is an extension of everything. And so if they're going to follow up, they have to have their own page and, you know, put the video up, and it's got to be very, you know, timely. So.
Yes. I mean, that side of it is something that I probably couldn't do if I went back in the field, right. All the different commitments they have. But I do think that the feeling, because people are smart, they're not stupid. And I feel like local news can be really insulting to people's intelligence sometimes. And it also goes only skin deep, right? You're doing something for 45 seconds. There's only so much you can do. And we have access to that piece of information anyway. So I feel like if you want to bring in a more sophisticated, long-term, younger viewer, to make it interesting, it's like if you have a fire or something like that, or like snow, they do it because you can't do anything. You can't script snow. But then they make fun of you putting the ruler in the snow. But that's my take. That's my hot take on that.
Yeah, I think especially if you do have a reporter who knows their stuff and she knows what she's talking about.
Oh, I love that you said she.
Well, we have a number of female reporters.
I know, but I just love that you went there. Right.
And, you know, long-term journalists, it's kind of what we pride ourselves on at TNH.
Well, I think the key is to synthesize Corey's point is that sometimes the younger set, they're so more interested in getting this on Instagram than actually mastering the story. And so there's got to be a balance there. But I just think that ultimately the major thing that pulls people still to media, whether it's radio or TV, is actually weather, because the apps, as even if they are effective, people love a narrative when it comes to what's happening in the world. So I feel like they still kind of want that in a strange way.
Yeah, that and traffic accidents, backups on I-91 maybe.
Sure, but generally speaking, there's no like traffic in Connecticut 80% of the time. Whereas, you know, like in Boston where I was for several years, it's a junk show all the time. So, you know, what do you think? Like if you, now that you're this, we only have a couple seconds, but if I were to say, like, what's one thing out of 100 things you would like to modify? I won't say change because I don't want to get you in trouble.
I think I agree with you. Hearing more, just something little like a Q&A scenario, like just like, tell me what you think. Our political reporter, Jody Latina. Jody, tell me what you think is happening there at the Capitol.
Now, you've been covering this for 20 years. Is this something you've seen before?
Right. Now, the danger is you get into the whole opinion thing and people get so nervous about that. But, I mean, I think hearing, especially if you have a pro on the beat, let's hear what Brian or Rick or Jody has to say about it.
Yeah, it's interesting. I find that with the exception of graphics and the social media side of it, very little has changed. You know,
I started in
local TV in 2002, and the template is like identical.
Wow, that's not good.
No.
Now it's got to change with the times.
I mean, what is the times?
The other thing, we don't have time to get into it, but, you know, I lived through the crash of newspapers, and you look at TV so reliant on people who are watching the news at 5, 6, 10, and 11. Well, how many people do you know who watch the news at that hour? I mean, it's a shrinking audience.
Totally. What
5 years from now, who's going to be doing that? How are they going to deliver their product to stay relevant?
Correct. I mean, I always thought that the 7 p.m. news was a great idea
because
that's when people are actually home from work, but that hasn't necessarily done that well either. I always thought the 10 p.m. news was a great idea because that's when people are actually going to bed. They're not staying up for Jimmy Fallon and Late Show anymore.
Oh, no.
All right, we're back here, 744. Rick Green, WTNH Managing Editor, Corey Myers here with us as well. I remember the days of sweeps. Come up with ideas, make the stories. Does the general public even know that there's like 4 periods a year where you actually, you know, like pants on fire, try to do your best stories?
I don't think so, but it sounds good when you bring it up in conversation. You know, it's the sweeps period.
Now, is February, is November the most important one still? Is that how it works?
I think so. I'm not sure.
And February is pretty important.
February
is
pretty significant.
And then May is not that important, and the summer is the least important. Is that how it works?
I think you're probably right about that.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I mean, and it's always interesting in a place like Connecticut where you probably sit down with a bunch of people and be like, you spitball ideas, you put it on the grease board, you narrow it down, you approve it, and then you have to, you know, get the work done.
Right.
And so you do a whole month's worth?
Yeah. So we have a month's worth of stories starting tomorrow, February 2nd. And in this case, we wanted to focus on one topic, which is a little different.
Get out for the whole month.
So we're looking at teachers. I think there's a sense that being a teacher has gotten a whole lot harder since the pandemic started. And it's not just like the old times of struggles in education. Teachers are really having a hard time with burnout, with compensation, with mental health of their students, with the fact that they can't hire enough teachers. So we thought, okay, let's roll the dice and just look at through the eyes of teachers, a lot of these problems.
So a lot of profile-y type things?
We don't want to get – yes, teacher voices are important, but we want to talk about the larger issue. Like tomorrow, for example, we're starting – our first package is on teacher burnout and how we're losing more particularly good young teachers because they're just like, I can't handle this. It's too much.
What is too much that wasn't too much 20 years ago?
I think
the mental health side of it, involvement.
I think mental health. I think parents. We expect schools to solve all the problems of society. Teachers are fairly well compensated in Connecticut, but there are vast differences between urban and suburban. So good teachers in the cities leave for the suburbs. There's a significant issue with diversity. We have a pretty diverse school population, but a largely white teaching population.
But also lack of diversity on gender lines too.
Exactly.
See, that's fascinating to me. You know, my first job was as a teacher at a private school, and I was a terrible teacher. But, you know, my father, you know, who probably deep down my mother and father had different ambitions for me, he really embraced it. And he had this philosophy that education would slip to the point where private industry would have to get involved and salaries would have to go up. Now, it never really bore itself out, but I think the point is still – relevant. You talk about how Connecticut pays well, but that's only on a relative basis. So that doesn't mean they get paid enough. That just means they get paid better than some other places. So my argument is that whether it's burnout or other stuff, I think same with the police. I think pay is a huge problem.
Agree.
Because the job may be different too, but like if you want to attract people, it's market based. You have to pay them real money. Now the fact that they're going to retire with a pension is great, but I think you have to pay them real money.
Yeah. And I think just like with law enforcement, I think with teaching, the job has gotten that much harder in the last 5 years, from more challenges with students to fewer teachers to the length, the demands. And then you have, you know, ridiculous proposals that surface in the legislature, like to take away a 30-minute lunch for teachers. Why would you do that? What's the
you
point of that?
Give them an extra 30.
Yeah.
like the elementary school should have an extra recess. I mean,
seriously.
I listened to this great podcast, you know, that talks about how the treatment of genders as students and like recess is something like you take it away. Like, I'm sorry, boys need that. But I want to continue this conversation about what you guys have coming up because it's a great subject and one that means a lot to me. But Corey, just really quickly, you have 5 kids under your roof. I mean,
correct.
I mean, how is the relationship between the educators and your kids?
Amazing, but they're not just their teachers. They're a social worker. They're a confidant. You know, they're amazing. And the most important thing I find is that the parents need to work with the teachers in order to benefit the student. So I am also have a great relationship with all of my kids' teachers and can reach them anytime.
Well, that's good. Well, that's part of the problem for some parents, though, is that they have that access. You're a force for good in that, but many are not. Couple more minutes with Rick Green, managing editor at WTNH, longtime editor at the Hartford Current, and Corey Myers here as well, who will hopefully be filling in on Friday unless she's scared off. You're not scared off enough.
No,
right?
I'll be here Friday.
Right, back on the teacher front and what you guys are doing. So the burnout thing, which is a huge story, and it's really important. What are the other elements like that you're dealing with?
So burnout, next week, another one of my reporters, Eva Zemiris, is looking at school security. And how, you know, for a teacher going into the classroom today, it's a whole different set of issues. I mean, we heard about that situation in Virginia where a six-year-old shot a teacher. Just the anxiety and fear that school security presents and how that changes the teacher's job compared to, say, 10 years ago.
But then if you have a cop in every school, it feels like it's militarized, right?
Yeah, right. Exactly. So that's obviously a significant issue. Another reporter, one of our morning anchors, Laura Hutchinson, is looking at shortages and how this affects a teacher. If you don't have enough teachers in a school, teachers need to do more, handle multiple classrooms. That's a huge issue. We're short hundreds of teachers, thousands of teachers in Connecticut.
Right. Well, wow. student teacher ratios, I'm a huge believer that those are maybe one of the biggest factors in like succeeding.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know who we had in studio, but we had like the difference between 20-1 and 30-1 is ginormous.
Sure.
And just to make another plug here, I got another reporter, Ken Houston, looking at the importance of a teacher that looks like you in front of the classroom. You know, we don't have a lot of, say, black male teachers, role models, and the importance of that, particularly in some of our cities, and the difficulty in attracting people into teaching if you're a young male of color. Are you going to go into teaching, or are there a million other options for you now?
I think there are a million other options.
Yeah.
And I go back to compensation and opportunity to grow. And I remember my son's elementary school in Braintree, Mass, had one male teacher in the whole school.
Right.
And that
regardless
guy retired.
Regardless of skin color, right?
Yeah.
Just a male teacher.
And I remember when my kids enrolled in the school that they've been in the last couple of years, that there were several males on the faculty. And I was so grateful to have that balance. And because there is a difference. So whether it's race or gender or whatever, but that's really, really difficult to do.
And then the thing I would add to you, Brian, is like the mental health issues that kids are bringing to school now. That's another thing that teachers have to grapple with.
Are parents abdicating their responsibilities and it's being put on the teacher? I mean, or is it just sort of like, as Corey said, like there's got to be this coordination type thing?
Well, I think anybody in the end would probably tell you it starts in the home, right? But
are the parents like, whatever, and the kid comes with all these issues and then the teacher has to deal with it?
Well, if that's the playing field you're on, that's the hand you're dealt, right? That's it. You know, who cares what the cause is? If a kid is needy in school, teachers have to respond, right? I mean, should parents be doing more? Probably.
But now there's a social worker in schools, and it's like one social worker for every three schools, so that they can not only talk to the teacher, but the student can now go to the social worker or meet with them once a week, and then there's a group that they can meet with. You know, and
well,
then like the parents have to coordinate.
That was the guidance counselor back in the day where nobody wanted to go?
You know, it's not. Those are separate people. There's a social worker and there's a guidance counselor. Like, they're separate people in the school for my kids.
There's two points I want to make. One is, when you have that focus on mental health, often it's the good student that actually gets neglected.
Yeah.
Right? Because
okay, interesting.
Because there's so much focus on what the teacher has to focus on, which is something that's disrupting class or needs their attention, where sometimes the good student, it just sits there and gets ignored because they're not a problem. You know, so like that's a sort of an unspoken knock-on effect that some people don't consider. The thing to me, the most important thing is the quality. Like, education in urban versus suburban in Connecticut is a big deal because the haves and the have-nots, the gap in Connecticut is really wide. And I think that—
And they might live half a mile from each other.
Right.
or a quarter of a mile.
Or you split prospect. And, and so that's the problem for me is like, how do we make our city schools better? And I don't know the answer to it. And I think this is something that's a problem all across the country. But you talked about the pattern of teachers leaving the city for the suburbs. Sure. I mean, do you guys take the urban-suburban look too?
Or? Yeah, looking at that, because that's – especially when you're looking at shortages and compensation, that's a huge issue. If a teacher can go from Hartford to West Hartford and bump up thousands of dollars and have a less demanding day, I don't know about you. I would take that
sure.
deal.
And
yeah, that's a big deal.
Same with the cops.
Exactly.
You do the same exact thing. I mean, and that should be like our biggest like – you do the next sweep should be cops.
Yeah.
And law enforcement, because it's a similar issue.
And the answer in a lot of cases is money. You want better cops? Pay them more.
And
I don't have a problem with that.
No.
Better teachers, pay them more.
Yeah. I'm 100% in agreement. Rick, it's always good to see you. And again, these stories on education start on WTNH tomorrow. Are you going to start in the morning or at night?
It's going to start in the at 5:30 tomorrow. They'll be repeated in the morning, run on Tuesdays and Wednesdays through the month. End of the month, we're going to have a town hall meeting with teachers trying to convince.
Who's going
to
host?
Ann Nyberg, our evening anchor, is going to host it. So we'll be doing that on February 28th.
That'll be live?
That'll be live. On WTNH too, 7 to 8 p.m.
That's awesome.
Yeah, so that'll be exciting. We're really enthusiastic about it.
All right. Well, we'll catch up again soon, Rick Green, managing editor from WTNH. Corey's going to stick around for another hour, and of course, it's Brian and Company here on WTIC News Talk 1080.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us, and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Want to put your baseball skills to the test? Then get ready to show your stuff with MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run. The official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Sign up for free for a chance to play your way to the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 World Series. Visit pitchhitrun.com today.